And welcome back here on the Pat Miller Program. As promised, we are now going to delve into an area where I would say maybe I've had more people who have calm and fear and anger and anxiety and opinions more on the area of vaccines than even a lot of political issues that we have covered before. Well, to help us out a little bit, because I'm not a doctor, don't even play one on the radio, I've got Janice Orlowski with me. She is a doctor. She's a chief healthcare officer at the AAMC. I'm glad she's on today because she's also a nephrologist. That means she's a kidney doctor, and that you guys know that's been my life for about the last decade. But let's bring her up. Janice Orlowski, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, there's probably in your line of work as a doctor and as somebody who deals not just with medicine, but you deal a lot with teaching universities and that kind of thing. So you always have to be a little bit cutting edge. Have you seen anything grip the nation more in our consciousness more than COVID? And have you seen more confusion or more apprehension over anything more than the COVID vaccines?
Well, I think you're right, Pat. This has really been an unbelievable 12 months, 14 months. And I think part of it, and I can completely understand people's concerns, is, you know, the medical profession was not sure back in March what we were looking at,
right,
and how to treat it and, you know, how it spread. So, you know, I can imagine that people are looking and they're saying, how do I get the right information? What do we know for sure right now? And what do we know for sure about the vaccine? So I really respect people who are seeking those answers.
In looking at the vaccines, Doctor, we have what now? Three that are available? Or are we on four? The whole AstraZeneca thing, where are we at on that?
Right. So in the United States, there are three that are approved through an experimental use agreement. We expect another two to be asking the FDA, but right now there are three.
Okay. And on those three, we're looking at Pfizer, which is the one that I received, Moderna, and then the Johnson & Johnson. The Johnson & Johnson, now that's the one that is the single-dose vaccine, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, how is that? I mean, did they do something completely different from the other two? Does it just have more juice in it than the other two? Because I've also heard some things, Doctor, that they're now finding that there's an awful lot of efficacy, for example, with the Pfizer, even after the first vaccine. I mean, you need to go ahead and get the second, but there's an awful lot of goodwill that's happening even after the first.
That's right. You are absolutely correct with your information. And in regards to the Johnson & Johnson, it's a different kind of vaccine. It's made with what's called an adenovirus, which has which they change the adenovirus, and the adenovirus can go into a cell. It's not a virus in the sense of making you sick, but that's the vector that they use to get it into the cell. The other two, the Pfizer and the Moderna, are new vaccine technology, and it's called mRNA, so messenger RNA. And the messenger RNA goes in, stimulates the cells to make the protein and have a immunologic response. Now, when I say new, I want your listeners to understand that even though this is the first time we've used an mRNA vaccine in the United States or anywhere, we actually have been working with this technology for more than 20 years. The original work done by scientists started 20 plus years ago, and we actually looked at using an mRNA vaccine for Ebola. And so the technology was on the shelf, so to speak. So we have the adenovirus technology, we have the mRNA technology on the shelf, and the scientists pulled it off the shelf and said, okay, how do we now make this protein so that it has an immunologic response to the SARS-CoV-2? And so that's what is different between Moderna, Pfizer, as compared to the Johnson & Johnson.
And so the mRNA, because that's where a lot of, I think, skepticism, confusion, and all that. It's like, I think some people think mRNA was just cooked up within the last year so that they could do a quick approval on a vaccine and get it out there, again, with the idea that maybe this is more political than it is medical. mRNA is not new to the medical community. When you first heard that mRNA was going to be a process used for taking care of this vaccine, that didn't cause immediate apprehension in you, did it?
It didn't, not at all. And you're right. I think that because of how short a time it took for the vaccine, which quite frankly is different than what it's been in the past, but it's the advantage of the mRNA technology. I think people were saying, was this really effective or was this political? I want to emphasize, scientists have been working with an mRNA vaccine for more than two decades. And so that technology is studied, it's been utilized, and it did not cause the scientific community, and in particular, you asked me, it did not cause me any concern when I heard it was going to be an mRNA. Even with that, though, I studied very carefully the data that was sent into the FDA, and I wanted to be able to say to my patients, to my mom and dad, who I just took for a vaccine, to my family, and to you and your listeners, I wanted to be able to say that I had confidence in the vaccine. And I have looked at the data, and you're right. A single shot is, with the Pfizer, looks like it's 60%. A second shot is thought to be necessary to prolong the immunologic response, and that's at 90%. These vaccines are very effective, and they are scientifically sound.
In the apprehensions that people have about the vaccine, one of them is, and this is not in the list of questions that I received from your office of the areas that you covered, but this is the only chance I'm going to have you on here, so I'm going for it. The whole thing about, well, they used aborted baby parts. Well, they used you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They used it. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. I'll put it out there, and you tell me if I'm just totally screwed up in the head here. No babies or no parts of babies or no leftover parts of cord blood from babies were used in the creation of these vaccines. What has been done is abortions that happened a long time ago, and I mean a long time ago, 20 years plus ago, a lot of the cord blood was saved, and now they have used those to synthetically create new lines, but nobody's being aborted. And just so we know, that cord blood from 30 years ago that they got from aborted babies hasn't been used just on these vaccines. These have been used to test medicines for the last three decades. Am I wrong?
Let me clarify it. You are correct about the Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson uses a fetal cell line that has been around since the 1980s, and that is correct. There's no abortions, there's no cells, there's nothing that's being used now. And I would say that religious leaders have said that is ethical to use the Johnson & Johnson. In regards to Pfizer and Moderna, they have not used anything that is, that would be considered cell lines from, cord blood or fetal products at all. So I wanted to separate the mRNA, which does not derive from any type of cells, separate that from the Johnson & Johnson. And then I would say you're completely accurate. There are no abortive cells currently being used. There is no cord blood. There's nothing in the Johnson & Johnson right now.
And I can't catch COVID by taking the vaccine. Is that correct?
That is absolutely 100% accurate. What people have, and often after the second shot, people may experience a low-grade fever, some muscle aches. They might have a little bit of sweats. But what that is the vaccine working in your system? It's your immune system responding, but you cannot catch COVID from the vaccine.
Well, and that's not totally unlike what's happened for some people previously over the years, just with a standard flu shot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are exactly you know, there's sometimes, you know, I get the flu shot every year. Occasionally I might have a little bit of low grade fever. It's a 24-hour symptom at most, and take some Tylenol or some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agent, and you're good.
You know, another thing I've been getting, I got a message from somebody just last week that because of mRNA, and when they say that, that tells me they've heard it on some website and they don't even know what it is, but because mRNA was used here, and as you've said, mRNA has been usable for decades, this is not brand new, but then it has led to some people saying, well, this stuff will actually alter your DNA. Is this going to alter my DNA?
That is false. mRNA, so RNA is protein. So when they say messenger RNA, it's protein that's strung together that acts in a certain way. And what we know and what has been studied is the mRNA goes into the cell, stimulates the immune response, makes a protein that stimulates the immune response, and then is degraded. So it doesn't go into your DNA. It doesn't stay in your cell. It doesn't go anywhere else in your body. It degrades, which is what all mRNA, whether it's something that you take in a vaccine or something that your body makes, mRNA degrades in the cell after it's used once. And so it is not going to change anything in your body.
Efficacy, I guess, is what? It's a measure of the effectiveness of the virus. We hear like 94% efficacy and all that. Are we now getting data from people that got vaccines back early, even those used in testings, as to, okay, 6 months in, 8 months in, do they still seem to be having some success with the virus and still overcoming the virus?
That is correct. That is correct. The other thing, Pat, is that a vaccine is being tested against the variants. So you may have heard about the UK variant, the mm-hmm. South African variant.
Right.
And what we're seeing is that there is efficacy against these variants. Probably not as high as the original virus, but we're really right now in the United States, it's a race between getting the vaccine out to everyone versus the variants getting out. And what we know, for example, from the UK variant is that it's easier to catch and it's more deadly. So the race is on for us to get the vaccine out ahead so that we have adequate efficacy in order for people not to be sick.
Yeah. I had mentioned to you, I don't remember if it was on the air before, that I am a kidney transplant patient. Mine was in yes. 16. So, and I know what viruses and everything can be like, because 6 months after my transplant, I contracted the CMV virus. And that was that was ugly. It was very ugly. I was in the hospital yeah. 5 days for the transplant, 8 days with the virus. But my doctor he just looked at me and he said, I'm not sure about masks, if they're really gaining us anything. I don't know if it's 6 feet difference or 3 feet difference. I don't know, but I do know this. You are going to get this vaccine, okay, because you absolutely, totally need it. Now, did he tell me correctly or did he mislead me? Because all of you people, all of you doctors that like vaccines, you're part of a secret society and you get together every third Wednesday of the month and you wear pointed hats and all that. I mean, do you have some secret group?
No secret group. And you know, the thing is, and I think that's, you know, I mean, you see it in people generally, and people are questioning and they want to understand and they want to be safe. And, you know, there are some doctors who took a look at the data and were very comfortable and said, you know, I'm going to recommend this for all of my patients. Other doctors who said, you know, I think what I'll do is watch this for a couple of weeks. I think what I would say is, first of all, you did need to get the vaccine. Absolutely. You are at very high risk because of the anti-rejection medicine right. that you're on. But people need to think about this because it is safe. More than 100 million shots have been given in the United States, and there has not been a single death of a person who got the COVID-19 vaccine. So what we know is that the majority of the time, 90-plus percent of the time, you're not going to get the infection at all. If you do get an infection, it'll be very mild, and it saves lives. And so I think all the people who said, you know, I don't want to be the first one in line, I'll wait and be, you know, number 5 or number 10, what I'm saying to you is it's your time now. We see more than 100 million shots have been given. We see the efficacy. We see how safe the vaccine profile is. And the interesting thing is, Pat, we're even seeing the safety in pregnant women and women who are breastfeeding. We just saw safety came out in teenagers from 12 to 15. So I think we're gathering really good information about the safety of this vaccine.
Well, and that's very, very good to know. From Chicago, we've been talking to Janice Orlowski, who is a chief healthcare officer with the AAMC. She is a nephrologist, which is why I delved into the kidney questions, because that's always been very important to me. Here was my purpose for today, Dr. Orlowski, and that was this. I don't want people to get the vaccine if they don't want it. If they've convinced themselves that they don't want it for whatever reason, it's like the flu shot every year. You make that call on your own. But I want them to make those decisions with good information. So I felt like we needed to get some good information out today. And like you said, I get letters all the time. Well, two people in Texas died of heart attacks right after they got it. And then you do some digging and they were 89 years old. Were they going to have their heart attack anyway? But with a total, I think, of like 20 people nationwide that have had deaths within 2 weeks after the vaccine, they were all things that were not vaccine or virus related, and they were all extremely elderly. Plus, when you've vaccinated 100 million people, even if they did cause 20 deaths, which I don't believe they did, that is a number that's so low, it's like zero.
Right. So, and certainly we don't want anyone harmed, which is why the safety profile of a vaccine is so key. But I, you know, Pat, I would say you're completely right. People are out there. They want to make sure that they're confident and they have the right information. And I really appreciate the tough questions that you've asked so that your listeners can get the facts and can make a good and learned decision about whether they're going to take the vaccine. And I hope that they do, in the end, agree to take the vaccine.
Well, we need to get to a point to where we have enough vaccinated that we can get to a place where we've got this herd immunity and we're on to the point that we can really get back to, if we even remember what normal looks like, we can get back to a normal life. For today, Dr. Orlowski, first of all, I hope you'll allow me the ability, should things change or should we want to go further, I can keep you in my electronic Rolodex here and we can talk again. But for your time today, thank you so very much for being with us. I appreciate it, Doctor.
Thank you very much, Pat. And anytime call, I'd be more than happy to come back and talk with you again.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.